everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am your host, JP, and joining me, as always, co-host, the tenacious one, Mr. Nick Martin. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you, JP?
We're fantastic, as always, in my multi-million dollar studio back here. Joining us today, man, I've been excited for this one for a while. It's not very often we get a guest the caliber of who we are about to speak with. He is a former U.S. Army sergeant. He is a six-time UFC champion, three of those being a heavyweight champion. He's a movie star. He's a humanitarian. He, and most importantly, is a dad. Welcome to Dadcast, Mr. Randy Couture. How are you, sir?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Oh, we're great, man. We're very, very happy to have you along with us, man.
Thank you.
So excited, man. And also, thank you for your service, man. My son's in the Army, so he's like, he was super excited when I told him we'd get to interview you.
Well, so at least he's stationed he picked the right branch. You
know? Yeah.
He's not with the Marine Corps chewing on crayons and stuff.
Oh, you're telling me the Coast Guard's not worthy?
Oh, no. I don't think anybody takes the piss out of other services better than service members themselves.
Exactly, so right?
We have a lot of long-standing jokes between the services, for sure.
So, but, Randy.
That's awesome. Well,
Randy, as you are aware, but we will go over this podcast. We do our best to talk all things dad and everything that goes along that journey for you and for us and for Nick and the road that has got us to where we are right now. But occasionally, and by occasionally, I mean every single episode we have done, it usually goes right off the rails. So, we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to get through everything, Dad, but, if we do end up talking a little bit about you and recent events and things that's going on in your life, don't be too terribly surprised.
No worries.
All right. So right off the bat, as a part of rite of passage of being on Dadcast, we must ask you the question to confirm, are you a dad?
I am a dad. I have three wonderful children. My oldest two are from my first marriage. I got married at 19 years old, joined the Army. That's what led me to the service, was a way to support my brand new family. My daughter was actually born in Germany when I was stationed in Germany. But Ryan, my oldest, who people may or may not know from fighting, he fought for 12 years in Bellator, was born, when I was 18, going on 19 years old. And, he's just been a great kid, an amazing kid, and definitely changed my life forever. I think changed my perception of the world, having a child, what an amazing experience. And, a lot of that's due to him. He's a great kid and a great guy.
It tends to do that, doesn't it? The whole perspective thing, when there's just this itty bitty new life that all of a sudden you're responsible for. I mean, okay, everything else, not important. Let's, from here on out, it's all about, at least in my opinion, as it should be as a dad, this is what it's about now. It's not about you. It's about that little life and everything going forward.
Yeah.
So how is that, man?
That's how do you involve when you're like, young and you have a baby like Randy did? It's crazy.
I was in survival mode. The only thing I knew for sure when I found out my girlfriend was pregnant and we were having a baby was I wasn't going to be like my dad. My dad was never around, never paid support. Never. I was lucky if I saw him once a year, birthdays and Christmas, forget about it. So I knew in my heart that I wasn't going to be that dad. And so we got married, that February. And then Ryan was born that next August. I had already signed on the dotted line for the United States Army. Ryan was born in August and I left in October for basic training.
August. And, I got to ask, August, what is the day of his birth?
82.
Yeah, but what
he
day?
He was born in August.
82.
August 27th, 1982.
27th. Okay. My son's born August 8th. So I was like, oh my gosh, maybe they share a birthday. Well, maybe I'll bring him in here a little bit later and you can meet my little man, my little 10-year-old. Been talking all about, awesome. We're going to be hanging out with Randy Couture, and he's like, he's 10, so he's not quite. He's like, who's that? And I had to show him. And six. My lady's just correcting my son's birthday is actually August. I got the 8 wrong in the August, darling. His birthday's the 6th. There, I just went on the record. Dadcast, you know, the greatest dad in the world forgot his son's birthday. Appreciate that.
It happens to the best of us, JP.
She had to call me out right when we're, you know, actually doing the show. She couldn't wait till later. You know, appreciate that, honey. You want to come say hi to Randy? No, she's like, no, she hates the camera. So that's pretty amazing. You know, Nick, he had kids, like you mentioned earlier, early and then very late. Literally.
Yes.
He's got a baby.
11 months ago.
And he's going more.
We share that similar track, actually. I was married for 11 years to Ryan and Amy's mother. And then we split up around the time I went to Oregon State and started coaching, and ended up meeting a gal that was also coaching there, Trisha. And later down the road in 96, we ended up getting married. And then I was kind of, you know, I'd had two kids. I didn't really want to have any more kids, but she had never had any children and she wanted to have a child. So we ended up having a child. Unfortunately, that all the stress and all of that was kind of our undoing at the same time. But we have a wonderful son, Caden. He's a senior in high school this year, 17 years old. He turned 18, honestly, on the 25th of April. So
happy birthday, Caden.
Yeah. And yeah, what a crappy senior year with all this other stuff going on. But, you know, he's taking it all in stride. He's a great kid. He's a very smart kid. He is going to Oregon State University next fall.
Nice.
So I'm excited about that. He's going to be a Beaver. That's where I coached. That's where his mother played. And that's actually where I met his mother, was at Oregon State. So
that's got to make daddy kind of proud, right?
Yeah. I'm happy that he made a choice to stay in state and go to his mom's alma mater, and a place where, you know, I spent 7 pretty important years in my journey coaching, and where I got introduced to mixed martial arts and left that coaching job to pursue fighting full time. So, you know, which obviously I think is certainly going to have, or has had, some impact on the quality of his life as he's grown up. He's a great kid.
Is he playing any sports up there, or?
You know, he was doing karate and jujitsu forever. Okay. Started when he was 6 years old, doing karate, and then later found jujitsu. I think he really liked the jujitsu because he, you know, the only guys were his size were the gals. So he got to wrestle and grapple with all the girls. So I think that appealed to him a lot. He's doing a lot of downhill mountain biking now. Oh. We live in Bend, Oregon, and you know, Mount Bachelor's right there, the trails and the outdoor stuff. And so him and his buddies have really gotten into snowboarding in the winter and doing this downhill mountain biking stuff in the summertime. So
nice.
That's what he's into.
Do you find yourself being an overprotective dad? I mean, balls out down a mountain on a mountain bike,
I do send him some of these videos of these guys that do some of this single track stuff on these, right? You know, literally on the to these ridges. And I'm like, man, this stuff is insane. And there is literally no margin for error. And I send him some of that stuff and he's like, oh man, that is crazy. So as long as I'm hearing that from him and he thinks that's crazy, I think we're going to be all right. You know, he's got a good head on his shoulders.
How old was your youngest when you started the journey into MMA, give or take?
Gosh, that was 1997, and he was born in 82. So he was.
Oh, so he's already very much.
He was in college. Yeah.
Right.
He was. He went to college at Western Washington University. He was wrestling there when I started fighting.
All right. So there was no. That must have been pretty cool. I mean, I can only imagine. And all of a sudden, your dad's. In UFC was starting to get a foothold then. Obviously, it's not back from the Gracie era when it first started, but it was starting to really gain track. In fact, dare I say it, you and your generation of fighters during that period of time were probably instrumental in what UFC is today, hands down. So that must have been pretty cool. As
I think, Yeah, I think it was cool for him as a kid. You know, his buddies, all his buddies in college thought it was pretty cool. I would come up there on some weekends and it, you know, obviously hang out with him and his buddies. I ended up wrestling a few of them in the grass more than one occasion. Ultimately, you know, he started doing jujitsu and some kickboxing in college to lose that freshman 30 that he put on drinking all that beer. he graduated degree in math and he was working for the bank, for Wells Fargo, probably on a management track in the banking system. And that's around the same time I opened the gym here at Extreme Couture. And I needed a manager. I needed a solid manager I could trust and rely on, because I was still traveling around fighting and doing all the stuff I'd been doing. And so I pilfered him away from the bank, brought him down to the gym to manage the gym. And he was there about 4 months and he's like, "Dad, I really think I want to fight." I'm like, "Oh man, all right." So I'd hire a real gym manager, and then he went about pursuing his fighting career. Obviously, he just retired from fighting this last year, and they're expecting their first child in about 3 days now. So grandchild number two.
Grandpa grandchild number two. Tour. Now, do you know it was a boy or girl?
Boy. And we had my daughter, Amy, had a baby girl back in June. She went into labor on my birthday. So I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this baby's going to be born on my birthday. That would be amazing." Of course, Evie had other plans. She waited till the 23rd to come out.
So yep.
My granddaughter was born on the 23rd. And now my grandson, Rhett, a baby boy, is going to be born on the 5th of May.
Now, see, that is amazing. Now, not to discredit or put any importance away from a granddaughter, but as men, as fathers, you know what I'm getting at here, right? All of a sudden, the first grandson with the Couture name. So the son is having the son. The father is becoming the son. And so that, you know, you can now rest easy that bloodline is still going. That's amazing. We've only.
Yeah, the name will definitely, the name will definitely be carried on through Rhett. So, very excited to meet Rhett. I think everybody's excited to meet him. So.
Congratulations. Now, we'll fully understand if the phone rings right now and you got to get out of here. You know, you never can tell. With 3 days to go.
Maybe he'll come early.
That's amazing. I got a late start in the whole being a dad. I was 36 when my first child was born. And so my oldest, I have a stepdaughter, she's 16, but my son, he's 10. So 10 years ago, I've still thinking I've got at least 7 or 8 years. I mean, we're talking best case scenario, a good 15, 20 years from now, but you know, worst case in 7 or 8 years before I become a grandpa. And as you can tell, there's already some gray happening here. We're ready. What about you Nick?
You got hair. I don't know what you're complaining about. He's got hair, right?
Well, you know what, man? I could stand up, Randy, and I would trade all this hair to you for your physique. You're talking about your son having the freshman 30. I've got like the dad 80 that I need to get rid of. That's been about 10 years in the making.
Yeah, I keep pushing you, JP. You got to just join the gym with me, dude.
I know. Keep trying. I know. It's not about a gym. You know, we've talked about this before. That's a good transition.
Jump on a bike with me.
Yeah, I saw what happened to you when you jumped on a bike last time. You almost couldn't walk for 3 days. You know, diet and exercise. You know, so it all starts in the kitchen, and you got to eat good and just, you know, get that running. What do you do to stay fit, Randy? As a fit, what is a fit, the Fit Grandpa DVD? I want to buy it.
I realized when I was retiring from fighting in 2011 that I couldn't get away with eating almost whatever I wanted. I was training, you know, twice a day, 5 or 6 days a week. And if I continued that behavior after retiring and being as busy as I've been, I would be a fat bastard in no time. So I started the intermittent fasting.
Okay.
I started intermittent fasting. It was very simple. I read some studies on it. A friend wrote a book on it called The Truth About Fat.com. Pretty interesting book. Incorporated all these medical studies, obviously, because obesity is a pretty big issue in our country. And the the intermittent fasting. First of all, I'm a busy guy. So I would, a lot of times I'd be 2-3 in the afternoon and I'm like, man, I'm starving. Realize I hadn't eaten yet that day. And so basically you pick a 6-hour window. I'm more of a night person. So from 1 or 2 in the afternoon till 6 or 7 at night, sometimes 8, that's my window to eat food, solid food. Now I'll drink water and beverages in the other 18 hours that I'm not taking in food, but just in eliminating calories in your week, that's a pretty remarkable sizable chunk of calories that you remove. I'm a busy guy anyway, so it's easy. I don't measure. I know what good food is. We all know what bad food is and what good food is. Anything that's processed, anything that's been made to last on the shelves 3, 4, 5, 6 months is probably not good for you. Anything that's been fried,
right,
probably not good for you. Anything that's whole, healthy, not genetically modified is probably good food. And that's the way it was intended to be. So try to eat good food in that 6-hour window, but I don't eat the rest of the 18 hours. There's a whole cascade of hormones. Your body metabolizes fat stores to use as energy in that fasting period. And it's really, really pretty good for you. Food is actually oxidizing. It causes aging. There's a lot of things that food, especially bad food, but everything we do is stressful too. Coffee, alcohol, daily life, work, it's all stressful. Sodas. I haven't had one of those in 25 years.
Wow. But,
you know, if I had a vice, it's probably, having a glass or two of wine, with dinners.
That's not a horrible vice to have at all.
Yeah. But again, the intermittent fasting really seemed to fit and work for me. It's a simple thing. The first couple of weeks are tough because we're creatures of habit. We go to the bathroom at the same times. We tend to sleep at the same times. We tend to eat around the same times. So your brain's going to start chattering and telling you you're hungry, and you're not hungry. You're not starving. You ate the night before. You're not going to starve. So once you adjust those habits into only eating at those certain times of day, man, you're off and running. And it's allowed me, as busy as I've gotten since I retired from fighting, I'm traveling all the time, doing all this sort of stuff. I don't get to the gym like I used to. I don't train 5 days a week. I do a lot of body weight exercises in the house or in the hotel room, a lot more than I do going actually in the gym and training. So, this has allowed me to stay lean and stay in reasonable shape.
Well done. I should take that. See, Nick, I saw you do the beard grub. Was that just a tick or did you have something?
No, I've actually got some questions this time.
All right.
So
I want to intermittent fast. I'm going to apply that. I was waiting for you, man. I'm like, okay, he did the cue and he's not talking. Like,
all right. Come on. What about little Nick here? So when you were fighting and like doing movies, did you get to take the kids with you? Did they get to go see you do this kind of stuff?
Yeah, Amy came down to set when I was doing Cradle to the Grave. That was my very first film.
Okay.
Ryan hasn't come to a set yet. So they haven't really experienced what that whole process is like and what that is. I thought just a couple weeks ago, my son Caden was on spring break and he came down for a long weekend. And I thought that I was in the middle of filming a movie. And I was supposed to work some days that weekend. So I was going to take him to set. They ended up pushing my dates till the next week. So he didn't actually get to go. But it worked out. We still had a blast.
Yeah,
I thought he would have been intrigued by the process and being on a set and seeing how that movie, all that magic stuff happens. So
What about like the fights and stuff? Is there, your kids were younger when you were fighting. So did they go with you at all? Or,
Caden went to one when he was a baby. And the noise really bothered him.
Yeah.
Too intense and too much. It was a really bad idea.
Yeah.
And so my wife, Trish, ended up taking him out into the mezzanine and getting him away from the crowd and all the noise. When he was a tyke, 6-7 years old, Matt and Danny and I were all running a sport fight up in Oregon. And so when I would have my visitations, I took him to 1 or 2 fights then, and he was a kid. He didn't care. He was coloring the whole time. Right. He literally did not care one iota what was going on. And then when I was, when he became older and I was still fighting. He never came to a fight. He watched them on TV, but he mm-hmm. would wait till after the fact. So he knew how things came out.
But
Ryan came to some, and obviously Ryan fought
for
a long time. Amy trained in jiu-jitsu and trained in kickboxing, did some judo. She was involved until she was 17 or so in the grappling sports and mm-hmm. fighting. She did a couple grappling tournaments, and she was actually very, very good. She should have been the fighter, but then at 18, she decided she wanted to go a different direction and never really came back to it. So
interesting.
What, if it's any of my business and you're willing to share, what path has she gone on?
She kind of went on her own way, went on a walkabout, traveled around, lived in a bunch of different places, lived downtown Seattle. When she graduated high school, she's like, "Dad, I'm not going to college. It's a waste of my time and your money." And I'm like, "I'm not sure how you argue with that."
Right.
She was never asking me for anything. She was very, very independent. Always had jobs, always taking care of herself, paying her own rent, doing her own thing. Very few times did I have to get involved. And I was worried about her, but she never got into trouble. She did a great job of just kind of finding her own way. And then I brought her down here in her 20s to start working for me at my corporate office. And she didn't really like Vegas. It wasn't her scene at all. She's a bit of a bohemian. She's got a sleeve of tattoos. She's my two oldest it's so crazy to me because they are the two sides of my personality. She's the party animal, kind of a wild child. And my son is the intellectual, soft-spoken math guy. Amy was the painter and kind of the creative one. I have both of those sides of my personality, and my kids exhibit two halves of that. It's really kind of weird, but,
they're amazing, great though, kids. To see how kids do that though, where you've got, I have six kids and they're all.
Yeah. It's been really different. Interesting.
Yeah.
So down here working for me, she started, helping at a rehab center basically for meth addicts and helping run this foundation to help meth addicts get clean and get back on their feet. And in that experience, she found what she wanted to do. She wanted to be in sociology and kind of wanted to help people. She ran a couple adult healthcare places, and then she went back to Portland and went to college and got her degree in sociology. And she was working for a long time, helping people, handicapped folks, get their benefits and get their care set up in their homes. She would call me sometimes coming home from one of those jobs, like, "Oh my gosh, you can't believe what I saw today. It was really tough." She was a stud. She was doing really, really well. I think she had about 20 people working under her, and they were kind of working her to death, and they wouldn't really give her any more people or give her a raise. And so about 2 years ago, she walked away from that job and kind of just went back to bartending. And then she met the guy that, she had been longtime friends with before. They were bartenders together before when she was on her walkabout, and, they kind of reconnected, ended up starting something romantic, and now they have a child. So Evie is here because of that experience. So
amazing. Awesome. That is awesome. I'm shifting gears here. I like to do this. I it's no planning, no prerequisite, but you ready for the strangest question you're going to have at least all day, Randy?
Sure. Let's go.
Tell me about The Curse of the Clown Motel.
Oh, well, that's a film I just finished.
If you can.
Interesting. There is actually really a clown motel in Tonopah, Nevada.
Yes. I literally drove, stopped in it a week ago when we were in town.
And I have never actually been to the clown motel. My girlfriend, Mindy, has shot another movie there about the clown motel. This one is about the curse of the clown motel. I play in the first act of the movie as an old 1870s cavalry captain that kind of dupes a small tribe of Indians, his soldiers and himself. They slaughter these Indians to take the land and use it for the railroad. And in doing that, in killing the final elder of the tribe, he curses the ground. So then, and ultimately his spirit comes back and wipes out me and all my men for what we did to his tribe. And again, perpetuates this curse that's put on this land. And so now fast forward to the future, they built this motel there. And now all this weird, crazy stuff starts happening at the hotel. So that's my part of the curse, is I'm instrumental in creating a curse by this Indian elder.
It sounds like Poltergeist revisited in a crazy clown way, but that's funny. I was just going through, you know, I was doing the Randy stalking on IMDb and Wikipedia. Right,
so and that thing popped up. I got to know, are we going to have an Expendables 4?
There's a lot of talk. There's been a lot of talk about that for the last four or five years. About 3 years ago, they actually had a script that they were going to try and push to be the next Expendables 4. And then for some reason that got pushed to the side. I got contacted a couple months ago saying there is a script in development and they're looking to start filming Expendables 4 this fall. So hopefully that stays true.
My kids love the movies. I love the movies. So it's like,
I'm a fan. How long can y'all keep doing this though? I mean, not to sound insensitive.
I'm probably the wrong guy to ask that question.
Come on, Stallone's not even human. So it's
like, right. I don't know. I'll keep this doing till I'm 90, you know, or something along those lines.
Yeah. So my buddy actually tattoos him. So he was telling me that, they've been talking about it. I'm like, oh man, that'd be awesome. So
yeah, he's got kind of two half sleeves on both of his shoulders, but I don't think a lot of people see. He keeps them covered most of the time, but he exposed them a little bit in the Expendables.
Man, yeah. Sylvester Stallone, he is one of my, and here I go talking about another guy during your show, but as a child, my dad, you know, rest his soul, my dad was a very great father, and I miss him every single day. He took me to see Rocky III in the theater. So we're talking 1983, 82-ish.
Yeah.
And, of course, gets his ass kicked by Mr. T and then gets the rematch. Old school theaters, okay? Not like we're talking today. We're talking tiny seats, and the back of the seats had metal, like metal plating siding on it, that little diamond stuff. And I left that theater with bloody knuckles because I was so excited, punched in the back, and my dad just let me do it. And it didn't even bother me. And, you know, that was one of my first and earliest memories in the theater with my father. And of course, Sylvester Stallone, Rocky. From that point forward, I've been a big, big, big fan of Sylvester. And I just love that he's still doing what he's doing and so well. And even better than then. He's probably in better shape now than he was when he was 35 years old.
I drank my fair share of raw eggs after Rocky, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wish.
Did you put on the gray sweats and everything?
Yeah, I think we all did.
You know? I found some stairs at one point. I'm like, I'm going to run up these stairs thousands of times like an idiot.
Did you make it?
No, I didn't. It still hurts.
Wow. How old is today is your youngest child, Randy?
He just turned 18.
So he just turned 18. You mentioned that earlier. So man, now it's entering in the whole grandpa stage. I'm only assuming, because neither of us are grandpas yet, and you've got a little bit of experience now with the first, that this is considerably better because you can always give them right back when you get to hang out with them, right? That's at least what I keep hearing.
Ooh, needs to be changed. Here you go.
I've done my fair share. Here you go.
Yeah, you get all the fun stuff. You get to go buy all the toys, spoil them, get them all riled up and give them back to mom and dad. And mom and dad get to go deal with the sleepless nights. And
get them all hopped up on sugar and send them back.
Yeah, that's what my in-laws do. That we take the baby over there and he gets all riled up all day with grandpa and comes home and he's just a nightmare. It's like, oh, you need to go back to papa.
Randy, let's talk about your foundation. I know you've got a very big event coming up in Vegas here in a few weeks, the Harley ride. Is it the Natural Couture Foundation? Is that
Extreme Couture,
excuse me.
GI Foundation. Yeah. I started it back in 07, 08. In 06, I went to Iraq and spent 12 days on the ground with our troops. It was a very interesting, a very good trip. Rich Franklin and I went over there. And then the next year in 07, I got to go to Walter Reed in Bethesda, and the Fisher House, a friend of mine, we put on a big barbecue for all the residents at the Fisher House, which is the military's version of the Ronald McDonald House. It houses families of wounded veterans who are in the hospital going through their surgeries and get fitted. And it was me, Don Fry, and Ken Shamrock. We all went out there. We put on this big barbecue. It was a lot of fun. We got to go through the wards and meet a bunch of the families and soldiers fresh off the battlefield going through those surgeries, and heard a bunch of horror stories about the financial woes of their caretakers, their caregivers, you know, which is their mom, their wife, their father,
right,
losing jobs in their houses, getting their cars impounded, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, there's just too many falling through the cracks. So I got motivated through that experience to file for 501c3 status and start using my gym staff to do some small events and raise some money and put them into the hands of a soldier and his family to take some of that financial pressure off of them and getting back up and running to be back in the civilian world. We've been doing that now. This will be our 13th motorcycle poker run on the 15th of May. We've been doing this for 13 years now. Every year we get to go out, at least traditionally we go out, I go out to the hospital. The staff there helps me identify the folks that are struggling the most financially. And so we'll put a $10,000 check in each family's hand and just take that pressure off of them. That's a pretty good kick in the butt for most people. And that's what we've been doing for a long time. We've expanded our mission a little bit, wanted to help more people in the communities where we're actually doing these events instead of just going to the hospital. So through our other foundation, Emerging Vets and Players, vetsandplayers.org, where we open up our gyms and allow any vet or retired player athlete to come train and then give them also a place not only to train, because almost to a man, they say, oh, you should have seen me when I was in uniform. Didn't matter what that uniform was, whether it was a military uniform or a uniform walking on a football field or something, they were in the peak shape.
Right.
And now, like most of us, they let themselves go and they don't feel so great about themselves. And many of them lack a new purpose, a new thing to challenge them and keep them going. So bring them all together, allow them to talk about their woes, give them a place where they can be vulnerable. They can show those weaknesses. There's no stigma attached, and it's a safe place because we all speak the same language. We're all going through the same stuff. It's been amazingly powerful. And then getting them back, most of those ball players missed their locker room. Most of those soldiers missed that platoon, missed their squad, those guys that they literally had life and death experiences with. And so giving them that new team, giving them those guys again that speak that same language, struggle with the same things, help them find their way through those pitfalls, stay out of some of those rabbit holes, dealing with PTSD and some of the other stuff. And then linking arms with some of these other foundations that actually provide mental health services, rehab services, all kinds of, get them jobs, all kinds of stuff like that. It's been amazingly powerful. And that has allowed us to take some of the Extreme Couture GI Foundation money and give that to some of these guys in these communities that we're actually doing these events at and help take some of their financial pressure off as they're, again, struggling with that transition.
Man, if more people in this country were like you, I think we'd have a much better country living in today.
Well, I think, you know, we have 55,000 veterans living on the street homeless. And that, to my mind, that's absurd. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And you throw on top of that, the 22 that we lose to PTSD and suicide every single day. It's just a ridiculous situation. And I think that we have to do a much better job of taking care of our own folks, our own people that stood up for this country and took that oath.
Right.
That's my opinion.
And well, in this case, I would have to agree that your opinion is 100% correct. And anybody who says otherwise, you're wrong. I'm sorry. Period. Are we getting a tour of the house, Randy? What's going on? You're standing up, stretching out?
I'm moving to a little more light. It's starting to get dark.
All right. Well, you know, you're doing great things. So
over to the kitchen table with a little more light.
Again, you're doing great things, and there's an applause for you right there. I don't know if that's coming through on your end, but
thanks.
That's for Randy.
You can look up schedule for Extreme Couture GI Foundation at xcgif.org. That'll have the schedule of any of our events. We've got the ride coming up here in Vegas. We've got another ride scheduled right now in Quad Cities, Illinois, Iowa, in that region, in August. There'll be a country concert and a motorcycle poker run down there. This will be the third year we've done that there with one of my buddies, Bam Pastelnik, who's spearheading that. And so we got Patrick Crosby up in the Pacific Northwest. He's been putting on events for us and raising money and doing stuff for us up there as well. And then vetsandplayers.org is MVP, Emerging Vets Players. That was founded by Jay Glazier and Nate Boyer.
Right.
I run the Vegas chapter, the Nevada, the second chapter we ever opened was at my gym here in Nevada, in Las Vegas. And now we're in six cities across the country. We just opened in Seattle. We're getting ready to open in Dallas very soon. I'm pushing pretty hard to get open in Oklahoma City. I'm hoping we can get that online and just get more outlets for these guys that have been either soldiers or professional athletes. Place to train and share and get connected to their brothers and sisters. So, been amazing.
All right. Awesome.
I'm going to do something that is a first in the history of Dadcast podcast, and it's happening in real time as we are doing this episode. So Nick, that guy right over there, he just sent me a text and I couldn't agree more. So we are making the announcement today. As a, we're an LLC as well, Dadcast LLC. We have to choose a nonprofit to donate some money to when things get rocking and rolling here. And if you can see it right there, Nick Martin just said, let's make his nonprofit the one we donate to. And I couldn't agree more. So there you go. We're going to do our part on Dadcast to help out you and obviously our veterans and all that as well.
Yeah,
man, I really appreciate that. Thank you, guys. That's awesome.
That is awesome. I got the heebie-jeebies now, man. Nick, you did it to me again. You just made my...
thinking, my kids in the Army, it's like, it's a good give back to, knows what might happen to him. Who knows how crazy the world's going to get and what he might get himself into with this journey he's on. So, knowing that there's people out there that care and do stuff is awesome. So,
yeah. But we got to be careful. We're going to get really weepy here. We start talking about our veterans and our kids.
Oh, no, right?
I've got a new buddy in Arizona that is a big Harley guy. And I was just going to ask you, do you guys do anything in Arizona with the Harley ride?
We haven't done anything in Arizona yet. I'm new to Arizona. We just picked up a ranch just outside of Flagstaff this July. Okay. So we're spending some time in Arizona. And my girlfriend is into politics. She ran for Congress here in the District 3 in Nevada in the last election. And she's been doing a lot of public speaking and political stuff, and she's connected with some people that are doing some things in Arizona as well. So that there's some potential for some events in Arizona.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, if you do something, I'll hook you guys up. He's an Army veteran. I think he served like 15 years. And he works for City of Arizona now. Somewhere, whatever city he's in, he does the stuff. So, but he's a big time Harley guy. He worked for the Harley dealership over there for a while and found he loved working for Parks and Rec instead and making a difference. So,
very cool. Yeah. We were supposed to do a ride last summer in Nashville. Mm-hmm. It'll be the first ride we've ever done in Nashville. Former Marine Chris Turner, who's also an up and coming country star. Was organizing a ride there for us, and the pandemic kind of shut us down. So we're hoping this summer we'll get the ride back up in the Nashville area, which will be a lot of fun. Definitely. And Chris is a great guy. Chris is actually going to come play for us at the ride down in Quad Cities. He's going to be the country act, I think, that comes and plays for us down there. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, very cool.
Amazing. I'm going to tune in. And speaking of tuning in, I have to drop this seed on every single episode we do. It's more of a, it puts you on the spot, Randy, but I think you're going to like it. So we are inviting every single guest that we have had on over the past month or two, and it's going to happen soon. We're talking, and I know you're a super busy guy, but we're going to invite back for it's a Father's Day episode, which will take literally 20 to 30 minutes tops. in the first week of June, maybe second week of June sometime. And we're going to have about 27 of these little squares on the screen of all you guys who've been on the show. Father's Day special, just wishing each other a happy Father's Day and everyone out there a happy Father's Day. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be interesting to see all these different celebrity dads, whether you're an athlete, a movie star, a musician, all come together on one screen for a quick little Father's Day shout out. I'm inviting you to see if that would be something you'd be interested in. And obviously with time constraints and getting everyone's schedules together, we might have to do this at like 2 o'clock in the morning one day, but is that something, that's something you'd be interested in?
Yeah. Keep me in the loop. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. And how can you say no anyway, when you're on the spot like that? I get it. That's why I ask. It's Nick, it's starting to pan out, man. That's going to be a real fun episode.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's
gonna be awesome.
By that time, I think we're getting four. It was a Forrest Griffin. He's hopefully coming on. Forrest coming on. Uriah. We've got you. We got you know Brian Lindsay, of course. He's going to be joining on that episode. Jordan Farmer. Awesome. That'll be fun to get all you guys together, and I could just sit back and watch the magic happen. All right, so we still got about 10 minutes, give or take. We've covered it all. We've covered your foundation. We've covered your kids. You're going to be a grandpa. We've talked a little bit about movies, which I was doing my best to steer away from, but I can't help it, man. I have to ask you, what's the favorite film you have done? And then there'll be a follow-up question.
Man, I think obviously Expendables was a pretty special property, especially that first one.
Yeah.
Getting a chance to sit down and talk to Sly about that character. And, you know, he's originally had me come in to talk about Hail Caesar. And it was originally written for Wesley Snipes. He was going to adapt it and make it a little more suitable for me. He ended up getting Terry Crews. And Terry was amazing.
Yeah.
Brought all his humor and the gregarious personality that he has to that role. And after sitting down and talking to me about that role and our conversation, Sly went back and rewrote Toll Road into the movie, and all the things that we discussed in our meeting came out with, you know, talking about my ear and all that stuff in the movie. So I was more than honored and honestly flattered that he didn't just say, "Ah, well, we got this guy," and he, you know, and kind of blow me off. He kept me in there. He's a huge fight fan, boxing especially, but MMA as well. And so I just felt honored to be involved with that whole group of guys, learn from them, see how they, you know, their approach to this profession. And I mean, there's not a better group of guys to be around. And it was a huge learning experience and my first time being involved in a number one movie that summer. So pretty cool.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
It's a great flick. Now,
I've got a question. On the Expendables, real quick, JP, on the Expendables line, is the Bruce Willis beef, is that real, or can you talk about it? Or
I mean, I'm obviously not on the ground floor of that whole thing. My understanding is he had, you know, they asked him to be in three. Mm-hmm. He was in one and two.
Yeah.
They asked him to be in three and they wanted to kind of give him a bigger role. He was just coming off of Reds and mm-hmm. they were talking about Reds 2. And he asked for an exorbitant amount of money to be involved in the film. And so Sly was, I think, a little offended. At least that's what my understanding.
Yeah.
And so he wrote it, rewrote it. That's what brought Harrison Ford into the third movie. And
they had
that little set of dialogue about, you know, about Bruce's character going to the Arctic or something. I don't remember what they said, but that's how all that kind of came about. But that's not the first time that's happened. I mean, Mickey Rourke was supposed to be in the second film and he was just coming off of Iron Man.
Yep.
And again, he did the same thing. He asked for an exorbitant amount of money to be involved in the film. And Sly said, I'll rewrite it. And he just rewrote it and brought Liam Hemsworth in to play our sniper in that movie instead of Mickey. So, well, I can't, you know, I have no perspective on that, honestly. Everybody's got to do what they think is best for their career, honestly.
And yeah.
I really have
I don't know if it was me. I'm like, there's so many legends. I'd be like, screw the money. Like, this is just an experience in its own, just to be with all these guys and everything they've done. So,
yeah. No, it's a great group of guys to hang out with, to be on set with.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I felt like I was back on my old high school football team. We're in the locker room and suited up, getting ready to go out and play, you know? I mean, we're telling jokes and just having a blast. It was a great group of guys.
My new goal is we've got to get all the Expendables on an episode and just do an Expendables episode.
Wow. See, Nick, there he goes with his big aspirations. That's what we call him, the tenacious one. And I'm in for it, man. I'm in for it. You can arrange that, Nick. I will give you the brand new car that I just got that I cannot speak of on the air yet.
All right. Deal. All right, Randy. Deal. When we're done, we got a lot of talking about. I want his brand new car.
I've got a question. And I may catch some flack on this for the rest of my life, but I don't care. I think Randy Couture would beat up Chuck Norris, and they were a star together. Now, do you think that's you two getting a fight right now? Who wins that fight?
Oh, man.
Come on. It's got to be you.
You can never go against Chuck Norris. You can't do that.
That's what
That's just downright un-American.
Randy Couture just called me un-American, Nick.
I have to agree with him.
I'm saying I would be un-American.
Oh, right. I know. But can you imagine the pay-per-view dollars that would bring in?
He's a great guy. Amazing man. Obviously, we're excited to have him in Expendables 2. I had met him and been around him a couple times because obviously he's a lifelong martial artist and actually rented a movie theater up in Santa Clarita to watch The Passion of the Christ. And I got an invitation to go sit with him and watch that film in the movie theater that he had rented out. So pretty cool moment. Obviously he's a very strong Christian, has very strong beliefs and faith and is not shy about that. So
My 6-7 degrees of Kevin Bacon moment is actually so Chip Wright, he's a karate instructor here in Medford. He is Chuck's stunt double for Texas Walker Ranger. And I can't tell you how many times I took a picture because my son was in karate with him and took a picture every time he leveled up a belt. And every time I posted that on social media, everyone calls, oh my gosh, he's with Chuck Norris. It's like, no, that's Chip Wright. But they look so much alike. It's ridiculous. That's amazing. Okay. All right. I take it back. No one's fighting each other at all. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry I asked, but that's going to make for a great little clip. You know what I'm saying, Nick?
Yeah.
So what's next?
American.
That's clickbait if there ever was one. What's next in the journey of fatherhood, aside from being a grandpa in, 3 days or less now? It might be 4, 5 or six, though. You know how this works out sometimes. What's next in your journey in fatherhood, Randy? Or is it just more the same?
Well, obviously, just seeing Caden off, see him, he's getting ready to graduate here pretty quick and then make his way to Corvallis and start school at Oregon State next fall. So going to get a few things situated for him and make sure he's squared away and ready to go there. That's probably the only, aside from being the granddad, getting meet Rhett here pretty quick, that's probably the other fatherly duty that's coming up in this next 6 months.
I honestly can't wait to be a grandpa. The idea of it, I mean, I can wait. Don't get me wrong, but just that whole progression. Yeah, I know the 16-year-old. We're knocking on that wood, but just that journey of in that path. I really feel that I'm going to be a really great granddad, and I look forward to that. Like you said, hand it right back. You know, all right, kid, you go change the diapers. Yeah. You know. I'll feed him up and
drum set. What are you talking about?
Right. Oh, I look forward to that. Amazing stuff. Nick, come on, man. Give me something, baby.
I got something. So actually, are you bringing your son up here to take him to when he goes to college?
I'm hoping hoping that I'm able to make it up for his graduation. There, okay. You know, obviously limited tickets and limited attendance because of the COVID restrictions. But so I'm hoping I've got the PFL is right. We just started the PFL season and I'm commentating for them. The next part of our regular season, well, we have a fight next Thursday, and then the second half of the regular season starts in June, which is around the same time as he's going to be doing his commencement walk. So I'm hoping that I don't miss that. I want to make it up to Oregon for that.
Yeah. Well, if you are up here, you have like a day, you can make it to Medford, which is only 2.5 hours away.
He doesn't need a whole day. 2 hours.
I've been to Medford a few times. Been there. I coached.
We'd love to have you for like a part two.
I coached the Gutches boys.
In person would be awesome.
Yeah, I coached the Gutches boys that are Medford boys.
Yeah,
Les and Jason Gutches.
Mm-hmm.
And Medford's a nice area. I like it down there.
I moved from L.A. to this area in Oregon in my very early 30s and. Well, anyone who's been to LA knows this is way better, in my opinion. It's slower. It's slower. It's prettier. You can breathe better. Honestly, there's more to do when it comes to outdoors stuff. You know, you want to go skiing, hiking, snowboarding, fishing, hiking. You could do it all on the same day. You want to go surfing? Head over to the beach. All done in the same day. It's a beautiful thing about Oregon. And probably the best thing, no traffic to speak of.
Ugh. And here I am wanting to move down to Vegas.
There's some bonuses. There's some bonuses for that. What you're talking about the PFL. Before we run too much out of time here, Randy, before we went on the air, we were, oh, my son, come here, boy. You got to meet my son, Randy. So this is Sawyer.
Hello.
Sawyer, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good, man. Nice to meet you.
He asked me earlier when I was talking about you, what did you say? Could I beat him up? And I says, no, I could not. And he was asking me if Randy was going to choke slam me because I think he thought that you were like a wrestler, a professional wrestler. And I says, no, son, he's what they call Greco-Roman real. That's real wrestling where they tie you up into a pretzel kid and you tap out or you lose your consciousness. But anyway, that's Randy. He's an awesome guy. And there you go. You got to meet Randy Couture.
Bye.
But
there he goes. So let's talk about the PFL real quick before we actually started the podcast. Or you had a lot to say that was real important of stuff coming up in regards to that.
Yeah, this is our third season with the Professional Fighters League. They've taken MMA and they put it in a true sports format. Like every other sport we're used to, there's a regular season. This season, there's 10 fighters in six weight classes. Each fighter will fight twice in the regular season, depending on how they finish those fights. You get a criteria point, for finishing the fights early, knockout or submission. The top four guys with the most criteria points at the end of the regular season are going to go to the playoffs. They'll fight. The winners of that fight will be in the championship fight. And they're basically a new champion every single season. And they're giving away $1 million check to each athlete that wins that. Plus they're paying them throughout the season, through the regular season and everything else, like any other pro ball player would get. So it's a meritocracy. You want to talk smack, but it's not going to get you anywhere.
Right.
You still got to walk up that cage and score those points to get a shot at the title and the bigger money. So I like it. I think it's really cool. This is our third season now. We took 2020 off because we didn't want to jeopardize that format we spent so much time building, trying to do it halfway with all the pandemic COVID stuff. So we took 2020 off, and now we just started 2 weeks ago. We had our first show for the regular season. We're on ESPN Plus and ESPN 2. This next week, we're actually moving to ESPN, the big channel. So we're very excited. Obviously, the ratings must be doing pretty well. Or I'm going to turn some lights on. It's getting darker and darker in here. the ratings must be doing pretty well in the first two shows. So they've moved us to ESPN this next week on Thursday. So well, very excited about
that. That's awesome, man. Congratulations on that. Nick, you look like you're about to have something.
No, I got
All right. Excellent, man. Well, Randy, man, we are pretty much out of time for this episode. I want to thank you so very, very much for taking the time out of your obviously incredibly busy schedule to chat with a couple old dads from Oregon, man, here on Dadcast. It's truly been a highlight for me, and I'm very thankful, man. Thank you so much. And of course, for everything you do for our veterans and, you know, the sport and everything, you're a great man, man. We appreciate it. And I look forward to actually meeting you in person when we come down to Vegas here in a few weeks, if you're there, or sometime in the very near future. Right, Nick?
Yes. Well, thanks. And I appreciate you guys having me on. It's tough to turn down a theme like a dad cast. I mean, kids, you know, I put them through a couple of divorces. They spent a lot of time in gymnasiums on this journey in athletics that I've been on. And I think ultimately it was them that was the motivation and impetus to do all this stuff. So happy to be on a podcast dedicated to our children. Pretty cool.
And we thank you, man. That's what we're hoping for. It's kind of why this has really struck a chord with many, many people out there, especially obviously dads. They're knocking at the door. They want to be on this podcast. Like you said in your promotional teaser for us, you know, everyone's always talking about the championships and the movies, and no one rarely deep dives into your family and your kids. And that's what, at least for me, and what I like to think anyone else out there who's a dad, is the most important thing out there. And that is being a dad and their kids.
That's what motivates me.
And here's to 2045, the next UFC heavyweight champion, Brett. Congratulations on that. That is pretty much it, man. Thank you, Randy. Nick, unless you got anything, I'm going to call this thing.
No, man. Thank you. Yeah.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it, man. Randy Couture, he is an Army sergeant. He's a UFC champion, movie star, most importantly, a dad. Thank you for being on Dadcast. We will see all of you next week.
Thanks, man. Peace out.